F1, number 22A.
Now, these next three prophets, they seem to be so important for our work, for our lives, because they bring out something which is so often misunderstood, very much so misunderstood. And these prophets show that if we misunderstand these three prophecies, that we will never succeed. What is it? See, Zephaniah ended by making it clear to consciousness that love wants to bring the idea home to love, that the Christ is working to the point where the Christ wants the idea of God to be brought home to love, to God, and stay there. Where love says, through that lost, reversed world order in love, that love protects it and wants to keep it so that no enemy can ever touch it. And the next three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, now want to show us that we should leave this, the idea of God in its principle, and let it only operate in its principle, and that we slide back again. If we try to use that idea of God for another purpose than God, that's what the three will show us, that it handles that phase of evil within us that says, oh fine, I have seen through Christian science the perfection of an idea, and that that idea is always closed with God, therefore has the full dominion, the full authority of God, and now that's fine, I'm going to use it for me. That's the backsliding. It wants, the idea is now going to say, I want to use it for me, to build my house, my sealed house. That's how Haggai starts. They built their own sealed, you say sealed houses. See, those houses with all nicely built, everyone for himself, everyone looking after himself, that he has a wonderful house, very comfortable and very successful and everything like that, you see. That's the backsliding that comes in that last triad, where the prophets want to show that the idea must always operate in its principle. That's why I always say try to epitomize that column 4 as the idea operating in its principle. I bet you will afterwards find perhaps better expression, but that doesn't, what I just want is to convey the meaning of it and how important it is for us to be awake, that we don't sidestep the last three prophets. Namely, that we fall into that temptation that we say, all right, I have got now the true idea of God, and I have seen the method how a true idea of God is always closed and with the authority of the whole God, with the completeness of the whole God. Now I have found my instruments with which to build my life. See, to build my life. And then the temptation comes and says, I build my life as I think is right, as I think it out, as I want to do it. as what I feel good or what I feel I want to achieve and succeed. Instead of what Haggai wants to show is that you can only build one life. Only one life. There is only one idea of life. And that you can only build one house, the temple of God. The temple of God. That before we don't build the temple of God, he wants to show them that all the building of the sealed houses are in vain. Are in vain. That if we make the idea of God personal and put them at our service, see, at our service, all the three go against that argument where we say, now God is, I can put now God at my service. God is now going to serve me, to help me. And he shows, well, that's all wrong. You can't do that. You have to leave the idea in its principle, and therefore the three prophets awaken thought to the fact that the idea must always operate in its principle. First, that we can only build a life which is according to principle. Then Zechariah, he shows that therefore this idea must operate within a calculus which is divine and not within a human calculus. And lastly, in Malachi, shows that this idea must serve in its principle and that we cannot sidestep that complete returning and serving in the temple, or else we will have lack. What is the story in Haggai? He has seven subjects in which he shows with what attitude we should build the temple, therefore with that what attitude we should build our consciousness, our life, our being. In the first subject, he shows that there is a mentality in Israel that says it is not yet time to build the temple of the Lord. First I have to look after myself. First I have to see that I can build my sealed house. And though they built it, they rejected the impulsion of the Christ mind to turn one's mind to mind. To turn one's mind only to mind, the divine mind, and build up the mind consciousness. In the second subject he shows, because they sidestepped that and thought, well, first we have something more important to do than to build a temple. First we have to look after ourselves. They had several years of famine, and so they said, well, when I go through an experience, when I have a lot of other things to do, when I have a lot of other problems, I just can't be bothered about religion, about the God Almighty. I have first to see after myself, how I muddle through, how I can support myself, how I'm getting through. Then, when I have time, I will ponder a little bit about the God Almighty, because I think I should do that. And that's what he attacks here. He says, if you put first your own house first and the house of God second, and you think that you have to do it in order to survive, then you put first things second and second thing first, you have no sense of spirit, of true separation from the waters above, from the waters beneath. You have no true sense of true substance. You build on your own sense of substance and your material substance, and so you will fail. So he said, could you see what happened? He said, could you see that when you did fall back from mind and said, I'm not interested yet about building the temple of God. I first have to look after my own business and about my own affairs. What did happen? He said, well, what happened is that you thought you could gather substance, that you could make a living out of it, but it failed. He said, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. See how he analyzes very clearly that backsliding within each one of us who says, well, at the moment I have so many problems and I have so much to do and I have so much to attend, I first have to attend to these things. And so that constant claim which we hear, well, I would like to study a bit more and I would like to do some more for science if I had time. See, nobody who has ever gone and handled that situation, who has had a job and a great job to do, where we had to work from morning to 7 until evening at 7, 8, and had responsibility for a whole lot of employees and for bringing the business forward, we know that this is just an excuse to say, I have no time. In those years where we all had to have our job or were in the army or this or that, we all had enough time to get hold of the synonyms and to study and to study and have to appointments with principal from Monday to Saturday. And then when you have appointments with principal, everybody who comes along wants to have a good time with you and go playing cards and to the cinema and to do this, you just say, well, I will just look up in my diary. Oh, sorry, I can't do it. I have already an appointment. Well, that's the way we were working for years and years during those years of the war. Each one in its own way. You see, though many were in the army, it's not easy to be in the army and getting hold of the synonyms and study them and so on. But we did it. And there is no excuse which says, I have no time. Because that which is foremost in our heart, we always do. That to which we give most weight, we'll do. If we think that something is more important than God, we'll do it. That's always the same. So, all these things that which say, I have no time and I have no this and not that for God, it's just not seeing what Haggai brings out. That there where our heart is, there will we be. There will we be. And everything is just a backsliding from the command of the Christ, our spirit, which says, build spirit, don't build houses. If you build houses, I mean houses, you naturally everyone can build a nice house. Don't build a material life, a material sense of life. Or you look for much, that's what we usually do, we look for much. We think, well, then we have a big business, or we have a big family, or we have a big garden, or we have a big this, or a big that. They look for much, and lo, it came to little. It always comes to little. In the long run, you see, life is so short. It's only about 70 or 80 years long. But the life which we are working out is so long. It's eternity. So, even if some are successful within 20 or 30 years, that doesn't prove anything that they are successful. It always comes to naught. They come into this world with nothing, and they have to go out of this world with nothing. They can't stop that. Just can't stop that. But when they are going out of this world with nothing materially and nothing spiritually, they have really nothing. It's really, then, it comes to little. So, He shows them, and he shows the reason. He says, because of my house that is waste, and you hasten every man to take care of his own house. See, he gives them the reason. He gives them the reason. He just shows the value of spiritual being. The value of spiritual being, which says, spiritual is that which is eternal and therefore the substantial. All that material rush about and so on, and that material building up and building up a career and building up this and building up that in a material way, is just building on sand. It's trying to get much, and finally we get little. He said, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, says the Lord. You see, it's so important that at this point of spirit, he doesn't say, now go and build the house of the Lord, and then I will rain down righteousness on you, or I will rain down all the good on you. He just says, and then I will be glorified. He shows that the moment we begin to build the house of God, that we can't build it with that Jewish sense, all right, and if I build the house of the Lord, what are you going to give me back? See? And it shows here that purity which says, if you are going to build the house of the Lord, what you do and what you get is that you glorify the Lord. That's the only recompense, so to say. See, where we build truth for truth's sake, for the glory of truth, for the beauty of truth, because we know that if truth is big in consciousness, well, it's big. And not for any ulterior motive. So it gives us that sense of hallowed be thy name, you see. That's how we should build our life. Then he goes to the third and shows that at the moment the Christ has worked on that consciousness and has brought. See, perhaps we could say it like this. In mind, in the first object, in mind, we have an analysis. Mind analyzes the apathy of the human mind to build for God. Then, having it analyzed, he uncovers that that apathy doesn't lead anywhere, that it is substanceless, that it is fruitless. And so the fruitlessness of building materially and for a material purpose is uncovered. Once that is uncovered, then he shows that the Christ leads thought on to a complete annihilation of that false sense. It is shown that that brought them to realize that they must now build the temple of the Lord. And so they began to build the temple of the Lord. And the seal of the Lord came into them. In some of the translation, it is the Spirit entered into them. But many, much better is the seal, because that gives the tone of soul, where we begin now with all our heart and with all our energy and with perseverance and our whole weight to build the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Because then I am with you, says the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord stirred up. See, the Lord stirred up. You see, it's always from the Christ point of view. It isn't the word sense that he gives. He shows it in the word order, but not the word sense, the word standpoint. It's the Christ standpoint. The Lord stirred up the spirit or the seal of Zerubbabel and the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So they did it, you see. They began now to work for this Lord. And then comes one principle, a very fine tone, a very important tone. Actually, I really shouldn't say these things. It's very important, because one always speaks from one's own individual experience or an individual stress on it, because one has felt it that way. Really, all the tones should be equally beautiful. Why I say that is this, because in human experience, you see, you come here to an argument which is very strong. See, when one feels that Christ impulsion, which Haggai shows us, where he says, where the Christ impulsion comes to us and begins to work on us and says, you know, you really should build the temple of God, the consciousness of God. Your life is really not here to build your own sense of life. And where something in us says, as spirit, and you know, if you don't build the structure of God and the structure of divinity in your consciousness, you build on sand, you won't get anything. And then when we soul, one says, all right, yes, I can somehow visualize that. And so one feels the seal and the spirit within oneself and says, all right, let's do it. You see, one makes a definite decision and says, all right, let's do it. Then comes the fourth argument to ourselves and says, but will you really do something worthwhile? Will you really do something big? Because the argument comes and says, the world says, you know, you are a bit dotty. See, if I would know all the nice idioms which we have in our slang, German, I would serve you now a whole list of what they say. See, they say, the argument says, but you know, if you build something spiritual, it isn't big. If you build something material, it's big. If you really are a real guy, you will build up a big business. And everybody will see it. And everybody will see how much you earn and what a big house you have and the wonderful car you have and what wonderful this and that you have. And you will be president of this company and you will be president of that company and will be the director of this company and that. You are a big shot then. You build big. You see? Whereas if we build spiritually, well, yes, it's perhaps nice, he's but an idealist, but something is really wrong about that chap. It's not big in the eyes of the world. And that argument comes, you see. Or another argument comes in the same line, only on a different level. It is, inwardly one says, well, I'm far above that. I have seen where materiality leads to. I've seen that materiality has just an outward glow, it's just shining outwardly, but inwardly it's all rottenness. I have seen that. That doesn't tempt me anymore. Then comes the other argument which says, but if you devote yourself spiritually, will you build something big spiritually? Or will you always be just a little one spiritually? Is the temple that you are going to build growing? Or will you not succeed? And so he tackles that. He tackles that. He tackles that argument, you see, like this. First he says, don't worry about the whole thing. The Lord works with you. You don't have to do it. The Lord is always that works with you. You can't build the temple. Except the Lord build a house, they build in vain that build it. So he says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, the temple of Solomon in all its glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? They were building a temple which were much smaller than the temple of Solomon. And they didn't have the gold, and they didn't have the silver that was in the Temple of Solomon. So it looked as what they were rebuilding was not very big. So he said, did you not see the glory of the former temple? Were there some of the exiles that as little boys may have seen the temple in Jerusalem? And they say, yes, we know you are going to say, well, that temple was much bigger. And what you are going to do is something much smaller. Yet now, he says, be strong, O Zerubbabel. Oh, be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all ye people of the land, and work. Get working. Don't ask this question. Why not? For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. See, always showing, well, don't care about your sense of bigness and what you will be able to do. Let that go. Let's see that the Lord is being anything, and the Lord is always big. The Lord is big as he can be big, and ever has been as big as he is now. So he said, according to the word that I covenanted with you, so my spirit remaineth among you. So he gives here first the feeling, you don't have to work personally. God is working with you. God is with you. He has a covenant with you, and it is his plan, and it is his temple, and it is his power, and it is his greatness, and it is his abilities, and it is his opportunities, and not mine. Then he shows. He more or less asks now, who is going to build that temple, you or I? The Lord is saying, is the Lord building it or are you building it? He said, the Lord said, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall bring the precious things of all nations. I will fill this house with glory. Mine is the silver and mine is the gold. Can you hear the tone of how he wants to show it's God's building, it's not your buildings. Yours building, it's God's building. So principle says all ideas are my ideas. Principle says I encompass all the heavens and all the earth and all the silver and all the land and all the gold and everything, it's my. What you worry about bigness? Can you imagine something bigger than what is the Lord all? So he goes on, after he had shown, you see, that the Lord is working it out, and that the Lord is all in all, and that all the ideas are obedient to the principle, he says, well, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. See, what he says here is, after he has shown that principle is building it and that not we have to build it, that principle is the all-pervading principle and therefore the greatest thing there is, he shows therefore that principle works out the maximum of good. That this latter house will be greater than the former.